The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. See, here I didn't get into 2 a.m. last night or this morning, whatever it was. 2 a.m. All I have to say is they better fix those potholes on the LIE. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline, but first time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Here's Durant with an 8-point Brooklyn lead. Durant puts it up, puts it in. How about 32 points in his return from injury for Kevin Durant?
Get your footing right, and yeah, it's like riding a bike.
KD just makes it look so easy. He makes it look so easy. He doesn't need the ball. When KD's at his best, he can defend every position. He's become an excellent passer. Help facilitate your offense. He can score from anywhere at absurd efficiency levels. And you don't need to run plays for him. He could just get his points in the flow of the game. He's the greatest complementary piece of all time. Right? He would fit on any team ever. Because I've said it, I'll say it again. This Brooklyn Nets team, James Harden is the most important player. Kyrie Irving's the most spectacular player. KD's just the best player. Listen to KD at the post-game presser.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. You get your footing right, and you know, you just get your rhythm going. And I think my teammates did a great job of looking for me all game. And resort back to that work that I put in, just the shots that I take in practice and shoot around, try to get to those as much as possible to gain my rhythm. And I started to get a little bit more creative as the game, you know, started to progress. So it was a good start. Hopefully I build on this game and keep going.
I mean, like, when I say he makes it look easy, I'm not saying it is easy. Like, KD has to point out, I'm sure, to people because he has such a sweet stroke and he's 7 feet tall and da-da. He has to point out, hey, I work very hard at this. It doesn't just, like, however natural you are at something, you don't get to be KD without putting in a ton of work. But he does make it look easy, doesn't he? It doesn't hurt to be 7 feet tall and very coordinated. You know, think about the Nets, and it's scary. And I know in New York, the Knicks have won 9 in a row. They're a big story. But nationally, just consider this about the Nets. The best record in the regular season since going back to the bubble last season, the Phoenix Suns, because they are among the best records this year, and they were 8-0 in the bubble. So when you look at the regular season records of any team, the Suns are on top. That team, best regular season team for about a year now, that includes everyone, the Jazz and the Lakers and everyone. They weren't playing the second of back-to-back. They were playing on the road. The game was at Brooklyn. But it wasn't the second of back-to-back. No excuses. They had their crew. KD comes off the bench. No, because they want him playing at the end of the game instead of the beginning. Comes off the bench. No James Harden. They just beat Phoenix. They just beat the Suns. You say, well, big deal. They're at home. But think about that. It's like ho-hum when they take on one of the best and hottest teams in basketball, a rested team, and they're on the road, the Suns, but it's not like they're playing the second and back-to-back, and you don't have your most important player, James Harden. And it's like, yeah, whatever, they're the Nets. You understand they have a game-and-a-half lead in the East? And even if Doc Rivers kind of botched some stuff for the Sixers not that long ago because they came into Milwaukee, and the first game against Milwaukee would be the second of back-to-back because they played the night before. And Doc rested, sorry, he played Embiid in that game and then rested him on what would have been the second of back-to-back. Sorry, they played two nights before. So in other words, let me just say this in English so you can understand. The Sixers go to Milwaukee. It's not that they're playing the second of back-to-back in the first game, but they're shorthanded. No Ben Simmons, right? And they just played a day before that. So it was their second game in three nights, and they were shorthanded. Why play Embiid in that game when it's kind of a schedule loss so that you rest him on the second of back-to-back, which you're also going to lose then? Why not rest him the first night, because you're probably going to lose that game anyway, and then have a fresh Embiid the day after, and now you have a chance to win? That's my point. At any rate, partly because of that, I thought Doc bungled that. A great coach, but I thought he bungled that. The Nets have a game-and-a-half lead in the East. They haven't played together yet. We haven't even seen them play together yet. Do you? I mean, it, all I'm saying is this. They're the new Warriors. The Nets are the new Warriors, as in everyone can be healthy, and I hate to say it, including LeBron and AD. Everyone can be healthy. If the Nets are healthy, no one's got a shot. No one's taking them seven games, including the Lakers. Not if the Nets are all healthy. Well, they need time to build chemistry. They actually don't. You know how I know that? I've seen it. They didn't need any time. As soon as Harden showed up, they stopped losing. They just won basically every game. Now, the thing that they needed to do was shore up the defense. That took a little time. It's interesting. The offense took zero time in terms of chemistry. Immediately, it was there. Kyrie said, give him credit. He was smart. Harden, the ball's in your hands. I'm off ball. He's right. But the offense is just fine. And Joe Harris can shoot the lights out. And you got guys all over the place. TLC in the corner there and shooting those three. Everybody's where they're supposed to be. It's the defense took some time. But honestly, not even that much time. It wasn't that long before the defense got in shape and went from like the worst defense ever to like middle of the pack in the NBA. What, a couple weeks? That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
I gotta say, before I get into the,
on top of everything else, I bit the end. You never bite your cheek by accident? Right, now you keep catching it? Oh. Hmm. Anyway, what a day I had yesterday. Driving into Manhattan. I was out of town for the weekend. Got a little place out east. Driving into the city. I'm on the LIE, Long Island Expressway. People outside New York. And the week before, I knew I hit a pothole. And I was like, oh, be careful of that pothole. Don't be speeding. Go regular, you know, 55. And just watch out for that pothole between exit 52 and exit 51. So I'm watching out for it. I don't see it. I'm not speeding. I hit it again. It's like hard to see. Boom. Now, I want to tell you a little story about, you know, remember that show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Here's problems of the rich and kind of famous. So I'm in my Tesla, Raj. It's a Model X. It's very nice. And the thing about Tesla is they don't have like a spare tire, right? Like you have to rely on Tesla roadside to come and get you. So the tire pops, little computer screen in the front, you know, like, hey, you got to get over to the side. The tire has nowhere. There's no place to pull over on the LIE. None. There's no shoulder, nothing. I'm in the HOV lane. I got to hop over the HOV lane and get over to the shoulder as best I can because I'm smelling rubber from the tire, right? It's gone. I'm afraid the rim's going to go. I have my hazards on. This truck behind me sees my hazards on, sees me slowing down, trying to just bearing down on me. I'm like, come on, jerk. I finally get over to the shoulder, enough of a shoulder so that, like, as long as I stay in the car, I'm probably not going to get hit, right? And I call Tesla roadside. They say, well, that's a restricted lane. That's a restricted road. We can't send anybody. You got to call highway patrol. Boom, call 911. So I'm on the phone for 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. Cop shows up. I don't know, half hour later, whatever. I'm sitting there for an hour now. Now it's 10 o'clock at night. I got to get up for work in the morning. I'm still at least an hour out of the city. Officer Shepard hooked me up, though. He was like, look, Tesla is just BSing with this. This is not a restricted road. I dealt with this last week. They just don't feel like coming out here. But it's not a restricted road. That's only in the city. It's fine, da-da-da. So I have to argue with Tesla. I call them back, argue them to get them to send a tow truck. They tow me to a gas station because they got to bring my car to the lot overnight. And I call a Lyft, Raj. I'm admitting this is Lifestyles of the Kind of Rich and Kind of Famous.
Okay.
All right? These are the problems that we all face, Raj.
Yeah.
Yes. So I call
all of us face it with our Tesla. Yes,
with the Tesla and the Lyft Lux. Uh-huh. That's right. Lyft, a man of my stature, I can't just be in any. So I call, I do a Lyft, and they send a guy, but then halfway through, they say, oh, we found a car that's closer to you. Of course, it's a worse car, but okay, fine. I want to get back to the city. They send the next car, and I get a call from the dude talking about, hey, I have a puppy in the car, and I don't have a mask. Is that a problem? Yeah, that's a problem. Yes, that's a problem. Wear a mask, and I don't want a puppy. I know these dog people are all over the place. What kind of a person? I see what dogs are literally eating off the ground all the time. Oh, isn't the puppy cute? People let the puppy lick them in the face and stuff. No! I remember as a kid seeing my father's reaction to dogs, and I was like, what kind of a heartless person is this that doesn't want to pet a dog? I was like, I want to pet every dog I saw. Now I'm an adult. I know exactly what he means. Stay away from me.
poor kids. They can't have a dog.
So then Lyft spends the next half hour trying to find me a car, and then they tell me there's no car. I didn't get to sleep last night. I didn't get in bed till like 2 in the morning.
Wow.
Then I had to wake up.
You had to wake up and do that very popular TV show.
That's right.
Show
and
you do.
I'm digging a ditch over there in a construction crew. Oh, no, that's not true. I'm not digging ditches. That's true. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But that's right. I had to get up and talk about sports all day on a mere 5.5 hours sleep.
Oh, how you do it, Max? Well,
it's more like 4.5, but still. I know. I'm a hero in a way. I'm a working man hero, Raj, is I think the point of this story.
And here you are lifting the heavyweights again, and you're talking about sports on the radio now. How do you do it, Max?
I don't know how I do it. I don't know. I don't know how I argued with Stephen A. about all my favorite sports mere hours ago. Got a lovely lunch. And then came here refreshed, got coffee, free coffee from the coffee machine here at the Seaport, and then I have to come and talk about sports some more for 2 hours. Raj should get some kind of an award. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
For you to hit him and knock him out like that with one straight right hand, does that make this victory extra satisfying?
Y'all said y'all wanted violence. You're welcome.
Now, Ariel Helwani, ESPN MMA analyst extraordinaire, joins me now to talk UFC 261. Ariel, tell the people, if you can get a job in this business, it beats working for a living, boy. I mean, like, we get to just talk about UFC 261 and get paid for it right now. It's pretty good.
Living the dream, and I feel like I'm living a dream. Max Kellerman Show, back-to-back shows,
yeah.
Friday, Monday.
I told you.
I went years. Decades without being noticed by Max, and now I'm getting the Friday, Monday.
Ariel, you were always noticed by me. I liked your work very much. It's just there was no real opportunity. Like, when would we do a show or do a segment or something? You know,
you were the man in LA. You're the man on First Take. Yeah. You're the man on ESPN Radio. I feel like there have been opportunities, but look, I'm not.
Well, I've never. No one's ever come to me with saying, "Hey, you want to talk to Helwani?" And I said no. You know, but you're right. I probably should have before then said, hey, why don't we have Ariel on the show?
I'm living in the now. Back-to-back weeks, my Knicks are 1-9 in a row. I mean, what is this life? I don't know what it is.
But first of all, it's remarkable. What Julius Randle has done, I can't remember a time when a pretty high draft pick spent 5-6 years as a guy we knew who he was, right? A guy who was a double-double, mid-range jumper, only could go left, and, you know, pulled down rebounds and not built like a defender, kind of like a power forward from a bygone era. And so he's pretty good, but $10 million good, you know, which in the NBA is not nearly a max contract or anything. And the Lakers let him walk to clear cap space, basically. And for that guy to turn into a superstar, because he's an MVP candidate, I can't remember another example of something like that. So, you know, hats off to the Knicks. And they could even maybe win a playoff series and then spend a month with the basketball world watching the Nets and everyone forgetting about the Knicks.
And by the way, let's not pretend that that wouldn't be a victory. Let's not pretend that no one expected that to happen. Let's not pretend that anyone expected this or Tibbs Coach of the Year. I heard all of you whining about him last year, about Leon Rose and everything. And by the way, let's not pretend they're not winning 10 straight against the red-hot Phoenix Suns tonight as well. Let's not pretend basketball is back in New York City, Max Kellerman. And we welcome you back with open arms. I know you didn't have me on to talk about the Knicks.
I know you're talking about the Nets. If you're talking about it's back, talking about that. All right, listen, Ariel, after the show, after the fight, and by the way, I still haven't seen the undercard because Navarrete was fighting Christopher Diaz on ESPN boxing. And also Berlanga went the distance for the first time. He had 16 straight first round knockouts to start his career. Yep. So I had to watch the boxing main event, the co-main and the main, and then switched over to the UFC, and it was time for the main event, basically. So I still haven't seen the undercard. But I saw the main, and afterward, I've seen clips at this point, you know, and afterward, you commented, I saw a comment, I forgot where on social media, but I saw your comment, and I agreed with you. When Usman said he's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, Ariel, he has a hell of a case. What do you think?
Absolutely. I do think I have to give in my pound-for-pound rankings to ESPN.com this afternoon, and I'm going to put him number one. Because he's won 14 straight in the UFC, 19 overall, he's defeated everyone that he's faced in the welterweight division thus far. He's now lapping the competition. He's now fighting guys twice. Mm-hmm. I usually tend to give love to the guys who've tested themselves up. You know, we can get into the whole pound-for-pound debate, and that's why I don't think I should knock or anyone should knock Izzy for failing in moving up to 205.
Agreed.
But the facts are he did just lose, so you have to take that into consideration. Usman has won three times since John Jones fought his last fight in February of last year. And oh, by the way, I didn't score that fight for John Jones. I thought Dominic Reyes won that fight in February of 2020. And of course, Khabib would be number one, but he has since retired, so I can't make him a part of the list anymore. Kamaruddin Usman is the number one pound-for-pound fighter on the planet right now in mixed martial arts. And it's a hell of a story because there was a time not that long ago, Max, where people were calling him Snoozman, where people were calling him 30% Usman, meaning he only gave 30% of his abilities in his fights. Those days are no more. He just knocked out a guy who in 50 prior fights had only been knocked out once, a TKO loss back in 2008. That was the last and only time that happened to Masvidal. He just did it to him. He deserves all praise and respect.
Yeah, agreed. And I would say that, well, there's a lot to talk about with you, and I want to get to it quick because we have like 5 minutes here.
Sorry.
First of all, pound for pound, I agree with you. When you go up and test yourself, you deserve extra credit. But John Jones, if he's going to be a heavyweight, I'm not picking him to beat Ngannou. I think Ngannou is too big. And I agree with you. Agreed. He has not been as impressive recently as he was years ago. And let's see what happens as you know, he gets more active. But at this moment, Khabib is retired. I think it's Usman. And let me tell you who I'd like to see Usman fight. I know he and Adesanya said they'd never fight. I know Khabib is retired. But at this point, and it's no guarantee he beats Covington, but he will be favored. When you talk to everyone, they'll all pick Usman. And so rather than just lap the welterweights, I'd love to see a catchweight with Adesanya or with a comeback in Khabib, because I expect him to come back at some point. I would love to see him make a giant event with someone not in his division, because I feel like that kind of fight captures the public's imagination differently than simply making a title defense against the likely rival who you've already beaten. What do you think?
Okay, I like it. The problem is they've got a little Nation of Domination thing going with him, Israel Adesanya, and Francis Ngannou. These guys are super tight.
Yeah, they said they wouldn't fight.
Born champion. They wouldn't fight each other. No, they're boys, and I don't think they... Now, if Izzy moves up to 205... for good at some point, I don't know why he would, but if he did, then maybe, you know, he'd consider getting that belt and all that stuff, but I don't see it happening. Here's the thing. Times are interesting because you want a big fight for Kamaru Usman. There's a potential big fight on the horizon. On May 15th, a guy named Leon Edwards, who's unbeaten in his last 9 fights, who, by the way, his last loss was way back in the day, 2015, to Usman. They fought on the early prelims of a card in Orlando. He's fighting May 15th against a guy named Nathan Diaz, who's one of the biggest stars in the sport. Now, under normal circumstances, Diaz doesn't deserve a shot at any belt right now because he's been inactive. He's coming off a loss. But let me tell you what, if Diaz somehow beats Edwards on May 15th in Houston and gets on the mic, and I can assure you I know what he's going to say when he gets on the mic, that's the fight right there.
Like, right.
Colby Covington needs to get a contract signed between now and May 14th because, God forbid, Diaz wins on May 15th. He will have lost this fight, and that would be a gigantic deal.
Now, let's talk more about Usman as a package. I think you misinterpreted, because after we talked, I think Ariel misunderstood what I was saying about Usman last week. Your response was something, maybe I'm wrong, you correct me if I'm wrong, but your response was something like, no, Masvidal doesn't want to, you know, be on the mat with Usman. He wants to be standing up. My point about Usman, what makes him very difficult, especially with his evolution as a striker now, is that not only does he want to take you down and is very good at it and is the best once he does it, especially with Khabib now supposedly retired, but his takedown defense is excellent. And so you're not going to take him down. So you have to worry about getting taken down. You have very little chance of getting him down. And now he's striking really well. Like, he was, before he landed the knockout shot in the first round, I was thinking this is really bad for Masvidal because you know he can't take Usman down. You know, if they go down, Usman's controlling it. And in the meantime, Usman is landing lead right hands in the middle of the octagon against the guy who's usually slippery. So how does Masvidal win that fight? I feel like Usman it presenting because of the takedown defense combined now with the striking game, how do you beat him?
In the end, to add to that point, the worst thing to happen to Jorge Masvidal was the fact that he already fought him, because he fought a very different Kamaru Usman last July, and he said his biggest takeaway from that fight was, this guy has no power. This guy is not a threat to me at all. So you saw him in the first round laughing it off. And, you know, sometimes guys get tagged, they laugh, but it really means that they were actually hurt. This happens all the time. But I think he didn't respect his power. He didn't respect his striking. And now ever since, remember I told you on Friday, he's now teamed up with one of the most brilliant minds in this game, a guy named Trevor Whitman, an incredible coach. Ever since he's teamed up with him, and his forte is boxing, his boxing has improved exponentially. He just dropped Gilbert Burns in February with a jab, and then you see what he just did on Saturday to Jorge Masvidal. So I think Jorge didn't respect the power, thought that he was okay because the fight was staying on the feet, and then he blasted him unlike anything we've ever seen from Usman, and unlike anything we've ever seen happen to Masvidal on Saturday.
And Masvidal has a boxing background, Ariel, so he knows how to take his head offline. Like, remember, the whole thing was like, well, maybe one way Masvidal could win is if Usman tries to beat him standing up. Beat the hell out of him standing up.
I was the one saying that. I was the one saying if Masvidal keeps this fight in the center of the octagon, he's a live dog. And I was wrong. And I don't think that his defense was solid in this fight. I think he disrespected his power. And Usman has come a very long way. And that's why I consider him the pound-for-pound king right now. Because before, it was just wrestling. Like, it wasn't a very hard game plan to figure out. Now he's added this element to it. He's figured it out. Look out.
I mean, and it's not like Masvidal fought a bad fight. Masvidal, I saw what you were seeing ahead of time, what you were predicting ahead of time, like how Masvidal could be live. I saw him doing it. What was his name? The King of the Streets back in the day.
Kimbo Slice.
What? No. King of the Streets before. I may have even been before Zuffa. Hua? Was that his name? I'm forgetting already.
Marcos Hua, yeah.
Yeah, so long ago. And he used to, he was an inventive kind of creative striker going for those legs, trying to wear you down. And Masvidal was mixing it all up. He was fighting smart standing up. It didn't matter. It was a one-hitter quitter, basically.
Amazing. And what a shot, that like the shot of the sweat flying off him. I mean, we've never seen that. Masvidal, let alone, forget about getting knocked out, he doesn't get rocked in fights on the feet. I mean, he's fought some really tough guys. And so it's just an amazing thing. And when you consider it, he's on the verge of history now. Anderson Silva has the record for most wins in a row to start a career. 16-0 he started his UFC career. He's now at 14-0. He just tied Pat Miltich, the great Pat Miltich, for third amount of wins at welterweight for welterweight title fights. The only guys who are ahead of him are GSP and Matt Hughes. Like, we're talking rarefied air now for Kamaru Usman. So it's an amazing story, because I don't think a lot of people saw this coming from him.
The great Ariel Helwani, ladies and gentlemen. I think of the strongest UFC fighters division for division I've ever seen. Matt Hughes, you just mentioned him. Habib, and Usman is like that level of physical strength, and now he's combining it with the striking. Don't let this dude really get great at submitting guys, because it's let it be unfair. Ariel Helwani, ladies and gentlemen, host DC and Helwani, Ariel Helwani's MMA show, the Max Kellerman of MMA apparently, and I'm the Ariel Helwani of boxing maybe. He joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Should the Lakers be worried that they're 0-2 with AD back? I'll ask Kendrick Perkins next. If you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. See anyone beating a healthy Nets team? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let me tell you something. The Nets are going to be so impossible, even if they're mostly healthy. I don't think anyone can beat them. If KD's and Harden are both at like 90, 80, 90%, who's going to beat them? 888-729-3776. I have to maybe mess around and take a call just to prove to people I mean business. Is Kendrick Perkins there? Well, in that case, I'm going to get right to Kendrick Perkins, our ESPN NBA analyst. Perk. Big Perk.
What's up, Max?
What's going on?
Max, what's that?
Perk, if KD and Harden are mostly healthy, can anyone stop these Nets?
Yes, I keep telling you that, man. The Eastern Conference is not a cakewalk, okay? Yes, I get it. The Brooklyn Nets, they put a nice second-half performance against the Phoenix Suns, minus a Jay Crowder and all that. I get it. KD went off and Kyrie went off, which they do that. All right, but look, let me tell you something. Philly hasn't been healthy. Once they get healthy again, get their roster back together, they're forced to be reckoned with. The Milwaukee Bucks are starting to hit their stride a little bit. Giannis he's finding his rhythm again after injury. The Atlanta Hawks is no pushover.
Are you talking to me about the Atlanta Perk? I'm talking about if they got all their dudes and they're mostly themselves. This team is a game and a half out in front in first place. They haven't all played together yet. Are you really coming at me with Atlanta? I'm talking about the Brooklyn Nets with KD, Kyrie, and James Harden, and Joe Harris, and all these dudes. You're talking about Atlanta?
Max, I'm just sitting up here telling you that their interior defense is not what you think it is, okay? You could score on them at will.
Sure.
Now, would they surprise me if they come out of the East? No. They're supposed to come out of the East if you got Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden.
Who's coming out of the East? Wait, Perk. Don't do that. Who's coming out of the East? Healthy Nets team. Who's coming out of the East?
Philly. I told you that.
And if the Nets are healthy, so you think, look, there's no answer for Embiid. Claxton and DeAndre Jordan, Blake, whoever you want to throw. Of course, Embiid's going to get his. But when he goes for three, for the most part, not that he can't shoot from the outside, he shoots three of them a game. It's three the hard way. The Brooklyn is scoring three the easy way, all over the court, all over the place. You're telling me Embiid is going to power Philadelphia past a fully loaded Brooklyn squad?
Max, I'm telling you that the 76ers have enough to compete and beat the Brooklyn Nets. They have enough.
You and I have to bet something on this.
Tobias Harris, Steph Curry, Tybos, all these guys, Shake Milton, they have enough offensive firepower. Ben Simmons, lockdown defender. Danny Green, a sniper. They have enough.
They're I will
deep.
Bet you.
Dwight Howard coming in off the bench, and they are well coached. Not only do they have Doc Rivers, but they have Dave Gagel over there, who's the assistant coach, who's running a stellar system right now on the defensive side of things. By the way, who's the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies when they was making those couple Western Conference Finals runs with less talent than everybody else when they had Tony Allen and Marc Gasol. Dave Gagel was the head coach there. That's why they was one of the best defensive teams in the league, which why Philly is one of the best defensive teams in the league. So I'm telling you right now, Max, I get what you're saying about Brooklyn, but I'm going with Philly.
I will bet you.
I'm going with Philly.
I will bet you the loser shaves his beard. The loser shaves his beard live on TV or on this show. The loser shaves his beard. That not only will Brooklyn, if healthy, beat the Sixers, but the Sixers cannot take them seven games. It's not going to. Matter of fact, Perk, I don't think the Lakers, if everyone's fully healthy, because I've seen the Nets play average defense, which is all they need to do, and they did that within a couple of weeks. They got it together. If they are healthy, I don't think there's a team around that could take them seven games, including the world champion, defending champion Lakers. I'll shave my skimpy beard if you agree to shave yours.
Well, Max, I'm too smart for that. All right? I'm too smart to just take that bet on the fly. Yep. We could revisit this conversation right. And have another bet, but
all
I'm
right.
Not shaving my beard, okay? All I work too hard to get my beard where it's at. And I'm definitely not doing it on national TV, which I don't think I will be doing anyway. Hmm. But like I said, I got the 76ers, okay? Hmm. I got the 76ers.
Well, I'm letting you know that not, right now. I respect your decision, but as we used to say at PS41, if someone would take that position, bacock! Don't chicken out, Perk. I'm betting a beard shave. Listen, Perk, for real. I talked a lot about the Nets and everything. People are listening in LA right now, and the defending champion is the Los Angeles Lakers. And AD has been back a couple of games. I've heard people say, don't really like the way he looks. I've looked at AD and I thought, he athletically looks okay to me, just real rusty and not in basketball shape yet. What is your assessment of AD so far?
I agree. And look, I'm not monitoring it. And as a basketball fan and a student of the game, you shouldn't watch Anthony Davis right now and evaluate him on his production. Meaning, you shouldn't say, "Oh, Anthony Davis only had 3 points; he was 2 for 10 from the field." Like, that's not it. You just got to evaluate how he looks, how he's moving laterally, how he's running the floor. He's been away from the game. It's going to take him 10 to 12 games to get back his rhythm, to get the workload back up under his leg. So, to me, Anthony Davis looked fine. Like, he looks healthy.
I'm watching them run the floor. I'm watching them elevate for rebounds. I'm watching them do a lot of things. So with that being said, he looks healthy to me. His rhythm is going to come. This is why he came back right now. He's healthy, and he needs time to get games, so that he can have his rhythm. He looks healthy to me.
All right, question now. Last question, because they're telling me we're heavy on the segment, all right? If LeBron and AD are both healthy, the Lakers have a healthy squad heading into the playoffs, right? But because of the seeding, they're going to have to beat, in order to get out of the West, the Clippers, the Suns, and the Jazz, right? Denver, all right, without Jamal Murray. So let's just assume it shakes out where they got to get through the Clippers, Suns, and Jazz, but they're fully healthy. Do the Lakers get out of the West?
Man, look, my pick coming out of the Western Conference right now is the Los Angeles Clippers. Mm-hmm. I said this. Before they traded for Rondo, the only thing that the Clippers were missing was a floor general. And they got that.
Agreed.
They got Rajon Rondo, and they've been a completely different team.
Damn,
now.
Perk, that could be their first-round matchup. So you're saying the Lakers can get bounced in the first round?
Hey, listen, I'm telling you right now that the Los Angeles Clippers are the best team in the Western Conference, okay? They are the best team in the Western Conference.
So yes, if you're picking them, you're saying if they face the Lakers in round one, the defending world champion Los Angeles Lakers are going to get bounced by the Clippers in the first round.
Max, however you want to put it today, okay, Max? I'm telling you that the Los Angeles Clippers are the best team in the Western Conference.
Can I tell you something about shaving your beard? Because I do it like sometimes once every other week just so I see what you get to see what your face looks like. You say, oh, look at that. I haven't seen my face in it. When was the last time you saw your face? Come on, let's be honest. Are you afraid you put on some weight since your playing days? You don't want to see your face? Why not shave the beard? Just on a bet. All right, there it is. Kendrick Perkins, they cut him off. They always cut Kendrick Perkins off just when we're getting warmed up. Kendrick Perkins, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Hear why someone very close to Justin Fields, who apparently Raj thinks his name Josh Fields, is frustrated. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Devontae Smith, Heisman Trophy winner and projected first-round draft pick. Devontae Smith with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow morning at 9, 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All this comparison and all this downplay on Justin, I just tell him, just go turn on the tape. Imagine Justin Fields playing the competition at BYU.
I love what Justin Fields brings to the table. 3 years we've seen him play. We've never seen him lose a game in the Big Ten. He ran a 4.4, 230 pounds. To me, this is everything you want in a quarterback.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. LA, you salty at Tatis Jr.? Going to get into that in a bit. That kid can hit, boy. His daddy was a good player, but he's going to be a great player. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Justin Fields' stock continues to drop. Drops. He was as high as number two in mocks after the 2020 draft. Now most experts have him as potentially the fifth quarterback taken. Where's he going to go? Where's he going to wind up? Who's going to grab him? If he starts to fall, and I have to get draft order, and I've seen this a million times, but draft order 2021, I really should have this memorized by now, you would think, right? But so the Jaguars are going to take, obviously, Trevor Lawrence, and the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson. And let's say the Niners have decided it's Mac Jones, and the Falcons don't want a quarterback right now. And the Bengals don't want a quarterback, obviously, and the Dolphins aren't going to take a quarterback. The Detroit Lions have Jared Goff, so they're not going to take a quarterback, let's say. So there's Carolina, maybe the next team taken. Who do you think they'd take? Well, if Justin Fields goes fifth, then not Carolina. So does he fall to the Denver Broncos? I mean,
I guess they're not very high on Drew Lock right now. And Denver has got to get quarterback right eventually. But if I were Chicago, I'd be more desperate than Denver even for a quarterback. If I were the Bears, I would move heaven and earth. If Justin Fields starts to fall, to jump up maybe the Falcons spot so you can grab him. Because if Denver doesn't take a quarterback, you know the Cowboys aren't going to take one. The Giants aren't going to take one. The Eagles aren't going to take one. The Chargers aren't going to take one. Now we're down to the Vikings. If they're happy with Kirk Cousins, they're not going to take one either. Is it possible that the Patriots wouldn't even have to move up? That could Justin Fields possibly go 15th to Bill Belichick? And would Pace, would these guys in Chicago let that happen? Anyway, Justin Fields, former coach at Ohio State, Ryan Day, had this to say. Quote, I get frustrated. I feel like there are a lot of people in the draft where some guys get a pass and some guys don't. Certainly people have taken shots at Justin. Look, my antenna are up simply because, as I've mentioned recently, in recent years, after decades of just like ridiculous barriers of entry for black quarterbacks to the NFL, now what I notice is sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. Daniel Jones looks like he's going to be better than Dwayne Haskins. Mitch Trubisky certainly wasn't better than Deshaun Watson or obviously Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson, if not for Ozzie Newsome, doesn't even get drafted in the first round. And even I was thinking, I watched him in college. I thought maybe he's not accurate enough. Oh, they want him to change position. He is very fast. Black quarterbacks, vis-a-vis their white counterparts, tend to fall in the draft. It's not that white quarterbacks never fall. I'm talking about when you take their, after the evaluation process, pre-draft, black quarterbacks tend to fall. And the results, sometimes it's justified, sometimes it's not. But the correlation is they tend to fall. So my antenna are up. On the other hand, if Shanahan likes what he sees in Mac Jones, I'm going to argue with Shanahan. And I agree with Zach Wilson. But then again, 1, 2, and 3, white quarterback, white quarterback, white quarterback. Maybe it turns out to be justified. It just seems to work out that way, though, doesn't it? And then Trey Lance, by the way, a lot of people think he has the highest upside in the draft, or one of them. So it's not simply racial, but Justin Fields. I think there is a chance, looking at the draft order, it's a possibility, not a great one, but a possibility. He goes 15th to New England? It's possible. 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm going to get to some calls coming right up. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Hear what KD said?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.